Hi there, I'm Mimi Gibson, and I'm the next guest on Screen and Beyond.
On Screen and Beyond, an inside look into the entertainment world featuring interviews with people from the movie, TV, and music industry, news on upcoming TV and DVD releases, and the rumor mill. And now, here's the host of On Screen and Beyond, Brian Zemrak.
Good to have you back for another edition of On Screen and Beyond. I'm your host, Brian Zemrak, and this is episode 657 of the show that keeps you updated on what's coming your way as far as upcoming new movies, remakes, sequels, and TV and movie DVD releases, as well as our interview segment with a guest from the movie, TV, or music industry. This week's guest on Screen and Beyond takes us back to the old Disney films. One of the classic animations, 101 Dalmatians. She was the voice of Lucky in that movie. And she was also in Houseboat with Cary Grant and Sophia Loren. And she was in The Ten Commandments. A lot of things she was in besides that. And we're going to talk about a whole bunch of them. Mimi Gibson is going to be coming up in a few minutes right here on Screen and Beyond. So I hope you'll stick around for that. It's going to be an interesting one. And hope you had a great week. And I am working very hard to get up the shopping thing where you can buy some On Screen and Beyond stuff, glasses and mugs, t-shirts, things like that. So we're getting close. It's taking a long time, but I'm still working on it. And hopefully within the next week or so, I'll have a couple of days, actually, I'll have that going up. So anyways, we'll keep you informed on that. So I hope you'll be looking out for that in the very near future. And we have some guests coming our way that are just going to fascinate you. So please go to onscreenandbeyond.com or your favorite podcast provider and look through all the episodes of On Screen and Beyond. We got so many out there, so many amazing guests. A lot of people are downloading some of the old ones that we have, a lot of old ones, actually. And they're finding all these people that they just love hearing the stories from. So, and thank you for the emails. You can get in touch with me at feedback@onscreenandbeyond.com. And I will answer you, you know, as soon as I can get an answer or whatever. Sometimes you don't even have a question. You just have a suggestion for a show. So we appreciate that. And I will do my best to get back to you as soon as I can. Well, we've got a lot of interesting stuff coming our way. Like I said last week, the strike for the writers is over. The actors are still going through their process. Hopefully that will be coming soon so we can get moving along. But they are moving along with different things as far as you know, movies and TV shows and things. So we're going to give you information on that. It's time for remakes, sequels, and prequels right here on Screen and Beyond.
Please hang up and try again.
Remake, sequels, and prequels. The CEO of Mattel says that the upcoming Barney the Dinosaur film will not be an odd film. Now, that's an odd thing to say. It sounds like they're already worried about this, but we'll see what happens with that one. And the biography of Martin Luther King Jr. will be made into a movie with Chris Rock directing, Steven Spielberg executive producing, and a remake of The Incredible Shrinking Man that we've talked about in the past is still in the works, and it looks like it's starting to move forward. So we'll keep you informed on that. That's it for remakes, sequels, and prequels. Coming up next on Screen and Beyond, upcoming new movies. Upcoming new movies, Paramount Plus is working on a new documentary about the 90s boy band craze, with the likes of New Kids on the Block, NSYNC, and 98 Degrees. And it looks like Simon Callow of Four Weddings and a Funeral will be in the cast of the comedy horror film called Murder Ballads, How to Make It in Rock and Roll. And look for Julia Roberts and Ethan Hawke. They're going to be starring in Leave the World Behind. Now, this is an apocalyptic thriller coming to Netflix. And that's it for upcoming new movies. Next on Screen and Beyond, it's movies and TV on DVD and streaming. Movies and TV on DVD and streaming, the classic film from 1934, The Scarlet Letter, will be landing on Blu-ray and DVD on November 27th. Justified, City Primeval, Season 1, comes to Blu-ray and DVD on November 14th. And on October 17th, the 50th anniversary 4K Ultra HD release of The Way We Were with Barbra Streisand and Robert Redford comes our way. October 10th, The Boogeyman crawls onto Blu-ray and DVD, and Meg 2, The Trench, swims onto Blu-ray, DVD, and 4K on October 24th. And that's it for movies and TV on DVD and streaming. Coming up next on Screen and Beyond, it's TV and Entertainment time.
Hi, this is Eve Plum, and I'm on Screen and Beyond.
TV and Entertainment time, October 12th, the new sequel of the TV show Frasier with Kelsey Grammer arrives on Paramount Plus. And George Schlatter, now he was the creator of Rowan and Martin's Laugh-In. And he was actually a past guest here at On Screen and Beyond. And I think we talked about this show, so you might want to go back and listen to that show. But anyways, he made a show called Turn On, right around the time of Rowan and Martin's Laugh-In. And it has the acclaim of being the fastest canceled show in TV history. Now, what happened was it was given, I think, I don't know, 17 shows or something that they were making. It was greenlit for that. They made the first three episodes that were going to air. They started the airing 10 minutes into the show. Some stations, not all stations, but some stations cut it off. They said, we're not playing this stuff. So they stopped the show and went into something else. And others protested about the show after, you know, the show aired. Then they just canceled the show. So 10 minutes into a show, they cancel it right there live. It was, don't know what was so bad about it, but it's going to be interesting because he is now going to be showing those three episodes, and it's coming up on YouTube on Monday, October 9th at 4 p.m., and that's Pacific time, and 7 p.m. Eastern time. So if you want to find out what that show was about, called Turn On, and it's going to be on there, and I believe George is going to be doing a talk before the show plays and everything. So it's going to be interesting to see what that was, you know, what was so bad about it? Why did they cut it off after 10 minutes? I mean, you know, and but anyways, and let's see what else. Football and TV and movie legend Dick Butkus has passed at the age of 80. That's it for TV and Entertainment time. Coming up next on Screen and Beyond, we're going to sit down with Mimi Gibson. Now, Mimi has a long career when she was a child. After a certain age, she wasn't in movies anymore. She's going to talk about that. And she was the voice of Lucky in the classic animated Disney movie 101 Dalmatians. She was in Houseboat with Cary Grant and Sophia Loren. She was in The Ten Commandments and so many other things. Mimi Gibson next right here on Screen and Beyond. Our guest today on Screen and Beyond appeared on over 35 movies and 100 TV shows, including The Ten Commandments, Houseboat with Cary Grant and Sophia Loren, My Three Sons, Leave It to Beaver, The Rebel, and so many others. And she was the voice of Lucky in Disney's classic 101 Dalmatians. It's Mimi Gibson. Mimi, welcome to Screen and Beyond.
Thank you so much, Brian.
Now, Mimi, it was such a thrill to have you, get to connect with us and, to be on the show because your career, I'm just looking at it here and, because the 101 Dalmatians is, a classic. What can I say about that? And you were part of that and you were also in so many other things, like I said in the intro. And that was just, the tip of the iceberg here.
Well, during those days, you know, TV was just getting started really well, and movies were, of course, very popular, and there were quite a few of us that were working kids that just did everything. And I call us worker bees because that's what we were. We were in TV. The next week we'd be doing a movie. The next week we'd be doing voiceovers. The next week we'd be doing calendars. It was a very busy time for kid actors. So kept us out of the bars, except when it stopped, and then everybody went to the bars.
Yeah. Now, you all have also worked with Paul Peterson, correct? With A Minor Consideration?
Yeah, Paul was my big brother in Houseboat.
Ah, okay.
And one day when I was going through boxes of photographs and all the different things I had done, I ran into a bunch of ads. And I looked at one, and it was for TWA Airlines. And there are four of us, a family of four. Mother, father, sister, brother. I look at the brother. Who's my brother? It's Paul. And we had done that when we were about, I was probably four or five, and he was a couple of years older. So I've known him for my whole life. But when I turned 20, I left the business and led my life and moved out of the area. For 25 years, I lived in Los Gatos and had a goat farm.
Wow.
Pygmy goats. But one day I walked inside the house and turned TV on, and I didn't usually watch television during the day. And Paul came on, and this was like 93, I think, and he was talking about A Minor Consideration. I hadn't talked to Paul or anybody in the business in decades, and I saw what he had done working for kid actors and trying to get them okay after they were traumatized from their childhood, and I thought, wow, that is fabulous. How wonderful. How wonderful for Paul to start A Minor Consideration. And so I called him up and he said, where have you been? And I said, living my life.
With the goats.
With goats and llamas and chickens and peacocks and you name it, I had it. Anyway, it was very fun. And so he said, Mimi, we're going back into the union and we're going to change the Coogan Law. And I knew exactly what he was talking about. And I said, I'm with you. I'll be there. And he said, great. So it took us 8 years, 8 years to get the Coogan Law changed and to go to the California State Legislature, where I got to speak. I was kind of the poster child because I had done all this work, done all these movies, all these TV shows, everything, and not one penny was saved for me. Wow. Because the Coogan Law didn't apply, and here's what happened. And I'm not going to take a huge long time talking about this, but when the Coogan Law was written, it was written for every child actor under contract. And that was the problem with the Coogan Law, because during the 50s, all of the contract players were no longer under contract, especially kid actors. They just didn't have the contracts like they used to. And so none of this applied. So it was just an absolute free-for-all for all the parents. And so nothing got saved. And so we changed that law to take out the under contract and also to make it a little more money and day one, dollar one. And so that's, we worked very hard for that. We worked very hard. I came the farthest. I lived in Los Gatos. I drove down almost once a month. In some months I couldn't because of whatever. But I was down there almost every month for for 8 years. And then we stayed on another two after we passed the law. And it's the thing I'm proudest of in my life, mm-hmm. because if we hadn't stayed there and fought for what we believed was right, I mean, we had big stars yelling at us and telling us kids were brats and why should they care and saying all wow. sorts of insulting things. It was quite nasty. And we just stuck it out. We stuck it out. They couldn't get rid of us. And so there we were. And it was great. I'm very, very proud of that.
Yeah. Paul was actually a guest here more than a couple of years. He was quite a few years ago. He was on the show. And it was interesting to hear him talk about this.
If it wasn't for Paul, it would have never gotten done. Mm-hmm. And Paul is like an encyclopedia. He remembers everything, and he's just great. But if it wasn't for him starting the whole thing, we would have never gotten anywhere.
Wow.
And my hat's off to him. He has been a tireless fighter for kids, and he's wonderful. And unfortunately, there's no one to take his place, you know?
Yeah.
But that's the way it goes.
So you've done so much work. And is there any of all the things you did, is there anything that was special to you? The one thing that stands out in your mind?
Well, I suppose Houseboat is the thing that was the most standout because it was the longest shoot I was on for a movie. It lasted about 3 months. And we got to go to Washington, D.C. And Sophia was darling and Carrie was nice. And he didn't know how to talk to kids, so he'd let us. And that was like, okay. But Sophia was young. She was fun. She was a delight to be with. She wasn't the least bit stuck up. And she liked everybody, and we had a great time with her. And we got to go to Washington, D.C., and the producer and director, Mel Shavelson and Jack Rose, they hired a limo for us kids and told the limo driver to take us to see everything there was to see in Washington, D.C. on the weekends.
Wow.
Or when we weren't shooting. And so we got a real education. It was fabulous. It was just a wonderful time, and we had a great time doing it, and that was the longest I was on a shoot, and I loved it. It was memorable.
It was such a fun movie. They don't make movies like that anymore. I mean, everybody says that, you know, but they really don't.
You know, I wish they would.
Yes.
It's very hard for me to go to the movies. There's not much that I care to see. And I know that we have wonderful writers, and yippee for you. I'm glad you're back at work or going to be soon. Thank you. I just wish they would write more human stories. And I understand they can't get them made. And this whole thing fell apart by the agents getting power and becoming producers. And then they used their people, all their people, and they're making movies like that. Mm-hmm. Well, you get stuck in a rut. This is, I mean, I'm tired of watching everything blow up all the time. I can't keep, of course, I'm older, but I talk to younger people, too, and I have friends of all ages. I have friends from the 20s all the way up, and we all say there's just not a good choice, not a good choice at all, and it's too bad. I mean, it's all for 13-year-olds. They have enough 13-year-olds that can make them money, so there we are.
Right.
Yeah. So we're kind of stuck, and I think it's just too bad, because really what we want is a good story.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's what we want. So if anybody's listening, good story, write a good story, okay?
Well, you know, and I can't blame the writers, because they have to write what the studios will make in order for them to, you know, get paid. They have to make what the studios want. And the studios just seem to now just want to make, like you say, explosion movies or whatever, you know, the same thing over and over and over. And a lot of times, in my opinion, the first Superman movie with Christopher Reeves, it had a story. You felt for him. But then after that, all the movies, it's like, okay, what can we blow up? What can we, how gruesome can we make the villain die? It's just one thing after another. And it's like, like you say, a story, a genuine story that'll get you into it. That's what they need to make.
Yeah, I'm a reader, and there is a story coming up. I forget who's making it, and it's coming out soon. It's the murders. Well, I'm probably getting the title wrong, and I'm so sorry. It's the murders of the Blossom. Well, anyway, it's early in the morning. But anyway, it's about the Osage Indians and what happened to them when they became wealthy from oil. Uh-huh. And it's that book. And it's written by a man named Graham, I think. And he's a really, really good writer. And he really did his research on this. And it is a fabulous book. And it's being made into a movie. Thank goodness. Mm. And if anybody gets a chance to see it, you won't believe what went on in this. Of course, we'll believe it because it happened to the Indians. I mean, how much can we hurt and insult these people? It just grieves me. I just unbelievable. I used to like Mark Twain until I read Roughing It, and he writes in his book so insulting about the Hawaiians and how they live. And I thought, gosh, we were an awful people that were insulting these innocent natives who know nothing, live far away from everyone, and were acting like, ugh, you know, they're so disgusting. And he went around the country and talk about them like that, and people laughed and mimicked them and made fun of them. And I think, oh my gosh, it's amazing. It really is. I had no idea we were so awful.
Really. Jeez. Now you.
So, anyway.
You.
Sorry.
No. That's all right. Now you were part of the classic, The Ten Commandments, right?
I was, okay, so one of the most interesting things that happened to me was on The Ten Commandments. Cecil B. DeMille knew me. He liked me. It was, I think it was his last movie, wasn't it? Well, anyway, there were three of us, Bobby Clark and the old man, I forget his name, and me. And we're kind of every man. We're little Hebrews going out of, we're children, we're going out of Egypt, they're letting us go, and we're going into the desert. And so it's kind of like we're, the camera's looking through our eyes, we're pointing out different things that are important, and what we see, and what's going on. So we're kind of here and there a little bit, and there was a big crowd scene where we were in front of a blue screen, a green screen, whatever screen it was, and we're all in our places, and everybody had said, God, don't make a mistake, even though, and Cecil B. DeMille was up on a crane with the cameraman, and his megaphone, and yelling at everybody down below, you move over there and you stand over here. And somebody said, if you make a mistake when he's filming, he will just bring you to your knees. And so we were all like scared to death that he would yell at us from up above. And so we did our work and we did everything. And he said, Mimi Gibson, and I thought, oh no, God. And he said, good job.
Oh,
and
geez.
I said, oh my gosh, it was in front of everyone, and I, oh, my chest puffed out. I felt so proud.
At first, though, you must have thought, oh no, what did I do?
I did. It was like, oh no.
How old were you during the making of that movie?
I was little. I was probably 5 or 6.
Wow.
So I was a little kid. But you knew, by that time, I had been in the business since I was 2. I knew how things went.
Jeez.
I knew what was expected. We all did. We all, the kids that worked in the business at the time, we all knew how it went. And the kids that acted up didn't get hired again. Mm-hmm. You had to be professional, just like the adults.
Yeah.
You had to know your lines, show up on time, and know your mark. And that's what you had to do. And we all did it, all of us. And, you know, I'm very proud of all the kids I worked with. And now that I'm back, I'm not working. I don't want to be an actress again, but I do autograph shows with kids that I haven't seen. And, you know, I use the term loosely kids, mm-hmm. but kids I haven't seen in 50 years.
Yeah.
And I'm so happy to see them. And we have a history that's the same. Nobody else has a history like ours. Ours is different,
mm-hmm.
and unique. And we are, I'm just so pleased to be with people like Beverly Washburn and Sharon Baird and, you know, all the rest of the groups. It's just wonderful.
Yeah.
The tear to my eye.
And another movie, I mean, like I say, there's so many I could go through here. The Three Faces of Eve, you were in that. You were in a lot of classic movies.
I was. I was very fortunate. With Three Faces of Eve, they took me in and asked me if I could scream a lot. And I said, yeah, you know. And so they told my mother that I would be kissing a dead body in a casket, not really a dead body. And so then my mom had it. They wanted to make sure that I was going to be okay with that. And my mom talked to me, and I said, if there's a body in there, I'm not doing it. And so she said to the director, she won't do it if there's a body. And the director said, okay, there won't be a body in there. And so we did it without a body, and that was fine. And nothing else, you know, I did my part, and I got a quarter for cough drops afterwards from the director.
Jeez. Now, Mimi, I'm a big animation fan, and you were part of the 101 Dalmatians Can you give us a little idea of what was involved with that? You played Lucky. You were Lucky.
Right. And it's interesting because I'm doing an autograph show on the 8th in Burbank at the Marriott. And the Bambi people are going to be there. And the interesting thing to compare us to Bambi is that they took the kids for Bambi one at a time and no other kids were there at all. So they took Bambi and they had him do all of his lines and then he was through. And that's the way they did it. Well, in my day, when we came along, they had us all go to school in the morning and then they would call us one at a time because that's still how they worked it. And they had us do, because it was different, they didn't know how they were going to draw the dogs, the puppies, to our voices. So they had initial drawings. When we'd walk into the sound area, we would see storyboards all along the floor of puppies in different positions and, you know, different little faces. Mm-hmm. And that was fun to see. And then you'd go in and you'd do every single line of every single puppy. And so when you were through doing that, you'd then be through for the day. And the next kid would go in and do every single line for every single puppy. And so by the time they'd do that, then they'd draw, then they'd, you know, do some stuff, then they'd have us come in again. So after about the first two or three times, I think we were just then doing single lines, but we weren't really sure who we were.
Wow.
And so I didn't find out who I was until much later, much, much later. And it was, you know, I was proud to be Lucky. Lucky's popular. And of course, I'm known for my nose is froze and my toes is froze. And that's a very popular thing that I get asked to say a lot. And it's very cute. And mm-hmm. Everybody loves the puppies.
Oh, yeah.
And everybody loves the character of Lucky, and I'm lucky to be Lucky.
Wow. Were you at a premiere when the film came out?
I don't know about a premiere. And I was working a lot. So, but I don't think, I talked to one of the other kids, and I don't think he knew of a premiere. I don't think there was a premiere.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So, and if there was, I don't think I was invited. I think I would have gotten an invitation or something that my mom would have kept, and I don't have any evidence of that, so.
Hey, this is Joe Bonzel with the Oak Ridge Boys, and I'm doing On Screen and Beyond.
But, you know, we just kept working. You just keep working along until you hit about 13, and then your career, because 18-year-olds can pass for 14, 15, 16-year-olds, mm-hmm. and they don't have to have a teacher on the set, and they don't have to have the same work rules. They can work longer hours, and that's a big plus. And everybody told us it would happen, and people said to me and my mom, oh, that'll never happen to you. But yes, it did.
Oh.
And and then you're in a totally different realm. You're like, you know, when you get, I worked a couple times a year for many years, but you know, you can't, that's no way to live. And so I just left the business. I just left and never looked back. I had never wanted to be an actress in the first place. You know, I was just found by this agent who asked my mom if she would like to put me in the movies. And my mom said, yeah. And so that's how that's how it went. And my dad had died when He was 42. He was young. She was a widow. She was not making any money. And I was the sole support of the family for 15 years. Yeah.
Jeez. Yeah. Well, Mimi, we're going to finish up here, but before we do that, I want to also mention that as far as TV shows, you were in quite a few. You were on My Three Sons, which we've actually had three of the brothers, the three of the sons over the years I've had them on. And So what was your experience on that show? Now, I understand that Fred McMurray did all of his scenes first, and then he would no longer be there while they filmed the other things and the reactions and things. Did that affect your roles at all?
No, the last role I did was, I think it was the last one. Well, anyway, was just with Fred. And so we just worked on the day that Fred worked.
Okay.
And that was, he was pretty old at that time, but he was a champ. You know, everybody that does their parts and you know, he'd been on the show for so long. Everybody, he was a lovely man. And we just all worked according to how he wanted to work. And who cares? Yeah. You know, with us, that was fine. He was lovely. And he wasn't grumpy or anything. He was just fun. Came in, did his job, and that was it. And those shows were fun. I think the most fun, and I liked doing Westerns. We all did tons of Westerns. Mm-hmm. And in The Rebel, I got to ride a horse. And, you know, we all just lived for riding horses. But The Leave It to Beaver I did called Brother Versus Brother is about me stalking Wally. And I think it's one of the funniest Leave It to Beavers. And every time it's on, people write me fan mail. They just love it. And it's really quite hilarious. And so that's my favorite TV show that I did, because I think it's really a funny one.
Yeah, it is funny. Tony Dow was a guest here, too. I had Tony on the show, too.
Yeah, poor Tony. I'm so sorry about Tony.
Yeah. But, well, Mimi, I want to finish up with one final question. And,
I'm ready.
And before I do that, I want to mention to everybody that they should keep an eye out on these conventions so they can actually meet you. You're going to be at a lot of different locations, I'm sure, over now, you know, coming up and in the future, too, I'm sure. So,
yeah, I'm going to be in New Jersey at Chiller in late October. And that's exciting for me. I've never been to New Jersey. I wonder if I'm going to meet the mob.
Well, Mimi, the final question is, when you relax, what are your favorite TV shows now and of the past when you were growing up? And what's your favorite movies now and of the past?
Oh, shoot. Well, my favorite movies are the oldies. I've got to say, especially during COVID, everybody I talked to, we were all watching Turner. We were all watching the oldies, and we liked all the old movies. I just love all the oldies. I don't have a favorite movie except for one, and it's an odd choice. And it's called The Ritz. It's from a play that was on Broadway. And I love all the actors in it. It is hilarious. And I think Rita Moreno should have gotten an Academy Award for that. She was so fabulous. Anyway, that's my sort of favorite movie, although I have tons of favorite movies. What else were you asking?
TV shows.
Oh, TV shows. I like anything with a dead body in it. Sorry.
Mimi! I didn't know you had this evil side.
And my books. I like dead bodies in those too. Not too gruesome, but I just finished reading a Stephen King book called Fairy Tale, and it was great. I read 70 books last year, so I'm a reader. I love reading. I like reading Spencer books. I like reading Michael Connelly is fabulous, and I like eating where Michael Connelly recommends in his books. And TV shows, I watch PBS all the time. I watch Dr. Paul, the veterinarian. And I watch regular television to watch the news to see what the weather is going to be like. Mm-hmm. I wish they did better TV shows on the ABC, CBS, NBC. Come on, you guys. I know you've got it in you. You can do better, really. Yeah. So that's what I watch.
Yeah. Well, Mimi, I cannot thank you enough for joining us here and letting us behind the scenes of some of the movies and TV shows that you were in. And I thank you so much.
And thank you for having me.
And there she is, Mimi Gibson, the voice of Lucky in Disney's classic animated film 101 Dalmatians and a whole bunch of other things. So hope you enjoyed that one. And Mimi is going to be at different conventions. She's going to be at Chiller Theater. That's coming up at the end of October. And who knows where else she's going to pop up. So you keep your eye out for Mimi and you can meet her and you know, get autographs and things like that. So hope you enjoyed that episode of On Screen and Beyond. And as I said earlier, we are working on getting, or we, when I say we, it's me. I am working on setting up the store where you can get t-shirts and hats and mugs and all that stuff with On Screen and Beyond logo on it and everything. That's very close to getting ready. So hopefully I will get that for you and in time for the holidays, you can pick up some, you know, some gifts, you know, and hope you'll enjoy that. So if you want to get in touch with me for a suggestion or here at On Screen and Beyond, you can email me at feedback@onscreenandbeyond.com. We are on all the socials, and I hope that, you know, you will turn around and like us and get involved. And we're going to have some other things coming up, polls and everything. You can get those on Spotify. So anyways, hope you'll keep listening to On Screen and Beyond. Go back and listen to all the old episodes, download them all, get ready for some more fun coming your way right here on Screen and Beyond. So until next time, when we once again take you on screen and beyond, I'm Brian Zemrak. Take care.